Amen. Folks, are you ready to receive this morning? Okay, I'm going to share for about, 35 minutes or so. But I'm going to pack a whole lot of stuff into this morning's message. Because the message that I'm going to be sharing here this morning, I really do believe it is a very important message for the times that we are living in right now. Because of what is happening out there. And the title of my message is Responding to Financial Pressure. There is financial pressure out there, wherever you look, all right? And we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to make sure that we are responding in the correct way. And in actual fact, this message that I'm sharing here this morning is really as a result of discussions that I've had with some of us in this church. So, hence the message. So, the question then is, how do we respond when the pressure is on us financially? How do we respond? You know, I remember going back to about 2009. The economists in this country of ours, they had been saying, or they were saying then, listen, you know, it's not going to be long and we will be out of the recession. We're coming out of the recession. Hey, I want to ask us, has it happened? We need to be honest. Has it happened? So it even means that the economists don't even know what they're talking about. Is that true? So we have to make sure that we lay our foundations on the truth. That is so important for us. So this hasn't happened. It's as if we haven't come out of the recession. And in actual fact, when you look around us, things have not got better. People's assets have come down in value, right? The value of people's homes have come down. Yeah. Venture capital, where there used to be so much venture capital available, you know, to develop and assist in terms of creating jobs and businesses and so on, that's come down. It's not like it was, right? Consumer confidence has come down. Employment opportunities, they have come down. The auto industry, Port Elizabeth, that area, it's come down. Eskom, I was going to say it's come down, but I'm going to say it's switched off. Hasn't even come down. Folks, it seems as if every single thing that could come down has come down. So we need to be asking ourselves a question. Is there anything that is going up? And the answer to that question, yes, there is. There are a lot of things that are going up. Opportunities to serve people that are in need are going up. Opportunities to trust in God when it's not easy to trust in God. Those opportunities are going up. Okay? Opportunities to build faith when it may be difficult to build faith. In the times that we are living in right now, that's going up. So there are many things, if we really look at it, that are going up. You know, this country's financial situation is not an accident. It's not an accident. I'll tell you why it's not an accident. Because this economy is reaping what it sowed. It's as simple as that. And this has been going on for a long time. Right? Just we are now reaping what we sowed. Is this scriptural? Yes, it is scriptural. It says in Hosea 8 verse 7, "For they sow the wind, and they shall reap a whirlwind." And unfortunately, the people that have been in charge of this nation for so long, they have been sowing the wind, and we are now reaping a whirlwind. That's just the way it is. But folks, I've got good news for us. Are you ready for the good news? Okay. The good news is that this economy is not your provider. This economy is not my provider. This economy is not our provider. And the reason why I'm saying that is that because if you and I are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, then our Father God is our provider. And we need to get our head around that and embrace that. In Philippians 4:19, I'll just read this verse. It says, "And my God," that's a relationship. If we can say, "And my God," does that show relationship? Because, folks, there's a condition right there. We can't say, I'm going to read the rest of it, we can't say what this verse says if God is not our God. But it says, "And my God," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "will supply every need of yours." It says will supply. It doesn't say might supply. It doesn't say sometimes maybe will supply. "Will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So we have to start to get the picture of, it's as if we are on this planet, folks, but the Bible says, you know, we're on this planet, we're part of this world, but we're not of this world. Is that true? We need to see ourselves like that, folks. We are children of the Most High God. This is what Jesus had to say about this. In Matthew 6, verse 25, Jesus speaking to us here at his way. In 2023, he says, "Therefore I tell you," Jesus saying, he's talking that, "therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." How many of us are experiencing anxiety at the moment? Because with anxiety comes stress and strain and anxiety and fear and all of those things. And yet our Creator is saying to us, "Therefore I tell you," this is not a suggestion, Jesus is telling us, "therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Now we can accept that, or we reject it. Your financial situation is part of your life. In actual fact, the reason why we work is to gain finances. Is that right? Because otherwise no one would work. And we spend probably, well, a good percentage of our lives working. So he's talking, this included in this is our finances. "Therefore I tell you," Jesus says, "do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat," costing money, "or what you will drink," nor about your body, "or what you'll put on," about your clothing. "Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Jesus, there's a question mark there. He's asking us a question. Is this true or not? Then he goes on to say, he says, "Hey, his way. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns." I was thinking about this while I was preparing. The other day I was sitting on my patio in the evening, and I was watching these little mossies, okay? And I noticed something, I don't know if you've ever noticed, that when a mossy pulls out a little worm out of the grass, he doesn't fly and go and put it into a storage place. He doesn't do that. Huh? He doesn't start, you know, having a little storage, like a little storage vault over there that every time he's got a worm, he goes and puts it in there and keep it for a rainy day. No. "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father," who? Jesus speaking to us. "Our heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Folks, let's think about this. If God is looking after those little birds in our gardens, those birds we see, Jesus is saying, you know, are you not of more value than those little birds? We are of much more value, folks, to him. So my question is, are these birds affected by the state of the economy? Are they? Are the mosses in your garden and the hardy dars affected by the economy? Folks, God looks after them. He's looking after them in times of financial pressure, right? Why does he look after them? Because they belong to him. Who do you belong to? You and I belong to him. And he will look after you even when the pressure's on, and even when the pressure is on financially. Jesus goes on to say, he doesn't stop right there, he says, and which of you by being anxious? Yeah, he's talking about this anxiety thing again. Because you know what we do? We just somehow get anxious. You know, there's a problem, you know, we start stressing and straining, anxiety comes along, fear comes along. He says, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to the span of his life? Now, if you know how to do that, if you know how to experience deep anxiety and stress, and in doing so, are able to add an hour onto the length of your life, please come and tell me how, because I want to share it with all of us, so that we all know how to do it. But folks, this is useless. Jesus saying, it's absolutely useless. Where was I? It's useless. Yeah, you're right. Basically what Jesus is saying, guys, stop stressing. We have to take our cares and place them at the foot of the cross, like he's told us. He says, cast all your cares upon me. So we have to take our cares and place them at the foot of the cross, and then our challenge is not to go and pick them up and hang on to them. That's our challenge. So Jesus is saying it doesn't help to stress. It doesn't help to have this anxiety. Then he carries on. He's still talking to us. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 28. And why are you anxious? There it is again. About clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and neither toil nor spin. Why? Okay, folks, because God looks after them. They belong to him. I'm asking us a question again. Do you belong to him? Do you think he's going to look after the lilies of the field and reject you? Jesus says, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. Now watch what he says, what Jesus says. Will he not much more clothe you? Folks, we have to get a perspective here. We have to get the right perspective in terms of who we are as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Jesus says something right at the end of this, okay? You know, that God, I mean, obviously we can see that God will look after us in all these difficult times. But then Jesus says, O ye of little faith. In other words, what he's saying to us, this is a faith issue. His way, this is a faith issue. We need to be men and women of faith. Because if we had the faith for what he's saying to us, he wouldn't be saying, oh, you of little faith. Is that true? So folks, let us not be those whose faith disappears. It kind of dissipates, it just disappears as soon as there is a little bit of financial pressure on us. Let's not be like that. We need to remain those who are full of faith. How do we get faith? Making sure that faith comes, we know, by reading and or hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Are we committed to our time of reading the Word of God, building faith in these last days that we are living in? Okay. Faith in Him. So we need to remain in faith whether we have a lot or we have a little. Let us not be those that as soon as the trials and tribulations come, well, I'm out of here. Ah, God doesn't love me. Doesn't look after me. He's looking after Bill down the road and so-and-so there, but he doesn't love me. Look at the troubles I'm going through. Folks, the thing is that there's no one else to trust. There's no one else to trust. Now Jesus gives us a solution. Do you want to know what the solution to this problem is? Verse 33. But seek first, not second, not third, but seek first the kingdom of God, Right? And as we seek Him, let's be honest, folks, if we are truly those who are seeking God, we will be those who are hearers of the Word and doers of the Word. Don't tell me that you're really seeking after God and you're not doing what He's telling you to do. Right? He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, folks, we can see here that the problem is easily solved because it's all about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but not just the superficial relationship. It's about having a deep relationship with Him. So have faith and remain focused on Jesus if you desire God to truly come in and look after us. Like I said, most of the promises of God, and there are just so many, but most of them, there's a condition. And normally the condition is about our relationship with Him. In Matthew 6, verse 34, as we carry on, Jesus still speaking. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. This is telling us again. I mean, I think this is the third time He's used this thing of being anxious. If Jesus tells us three times to stop being anxious, I guess we should stop being anxious. Huh? But we have to work through that. It's not going to just happen. It's difficult. It's difficult. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. In other words, don't stress about tomorrow. Why? Because you have absolutely no control over tomorrow. He says, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Listen, you're going to have your own problems tomorrow that you haven't got today. So don't worry about tomorrow. So what are you saying? Let's just get through today and enjoy. What Jesus is not saying that you're not experiencing a problem. Basically, what he's saying that in the midst of the turmoil, the trials, the tribulations, we can be in the middle of that and experience that peace that surpasses all understanding. That the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible tells us that He will make a way where there seems to be no way. Huh? Folks, He doesn't love us less because we are experiencing financial pressure in South Africa. Can I say that again? He doesn't love you. Jesus is not at the right hand of the Father saying, oh my, look what's happening in South Africa. Look what's happening in Bethlehem. Father, I think we must love them less. What do you think? He doesn't love you less, folks. You know, in Matthew 14, we read about the story of Jesus, how He goes out and He feeds the 5,000. And then a few days later, okay, He goes out and He feeds 4,000, even though His disciples, they still doubted Him. Is that true? They still doubted Him. Okay? Folks, but it's the same Jesus. It's the same Jesus that multiplied the food for these people to have to eat. He will multiply your resources and my resources when we are going through trials and tribulations and difficulties. We need to know that. He loves you. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, there it is, the condition again. Do you love God? If you love God, then this is for you. Condition. For those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. That's amazing, folks. But the condition, we better make sure we focus on that condition, because again, it is talking about you and I having a good, deep relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So basically, if you love Him, there's a condition. God will turn your situation around, whatever it might be, for your good. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? He's telling us how to do it, but do you love Him? I want to jump through to the book of James now. James 1 verse 2, it says, count it all a joy, my brothers. Oh, here it comes, the scripture. Count it all a joy when you meet trials of various kinds. It doesn't say if you meet trials. If means, you know, if you meet trials means that you might have them or you might not. When? Count it all my joy, my brothers. When you meet trials of various kinds, folks, I want to tell you, as believers in Jesus, we are not immune to the trials that are going to come. We're not immune to them. We need to get our head around that. But the thing is this, that He will use those trials, He will turn them around for our good. So these trials are actually good for us, because verse 3 says, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces patience." How many of us were here? Was it 2 weeks ago I spoke about patience? Right. Let's go back to that message. "For you know that the testing of your faith and my faith will be tested. But when it's tested, it's going to produce something. And it's something that God loves. Faith. And let patience have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing." So folks, God wants to mold us. He wants to refine us. And He's going to use those difficult situations. Even when the devil throws a curveball, it might be His intervention that He will take that situation and He will turn it around for the good of those who love Him. Right? Okay. And remember too, that there are times when God will put a bit of pressure on us. Why does He do that? "Oh God, why are You doing this to me?" And maybe it is God doing it. God is doing it because He is so concerned about your eternity and my eternity that He wants us to be well prepared for the eternity that we are going to go into one day. Amen? So we need to be ready for that. So sometimes we're still doing our own thing a little bit too much, and He does intervene. So He is preparing us for eternity. Hebrews 13:5. "Keep your life free from the love of money." Oh, the love of money. How many of you have heard people say, "You know what, brother? Money is the root of all evil." Huh? People say, that's not what the Bible says. Money is neutral. Money can buy good things and money can be used for bad. So the issue is not money. He says, the love of money is the root of all evil. So we need to make sure that our attitude towards money is correct. It's an attitude issue here. It's not an issue about what money is. My desire for all of us, hey, Lord, make them all multimillionaires with the right heart. The right attitude towards money, because then you will go far. You got the wrong attitude, difficult. So it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And folks, like I said, this is a heart attitude, and unfortunately, it's a heart attitude in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. I've been around long enough to know that when you mention money, hey brother, I'm a believer, but don't go there. Don't touch the money. Okay? Then he goes on to say, and be content with what you have. Are you content? Be honest with yourself right now. Are you content right now with what you have? Because this is the way the Lord wants us to, or the approach He wants us to have. Are you content with what you have? Because again, folks, He said that He's with us and that He will never leave us or forsake us. If God is for you, who can be against you? I'm just asking. If He's for you, who can be against you? And as bad as it may seem, you know, to get out there, and it does get difficult at times, He said that He won't leave you. And if God says that He won't leave you, that means that you will not be left by God. And we have to settle that in our hearts. You know, there's an amazing scripture. I want to read it in Exodus 14:3. Okay. Now, this is Moses. Get the picture. This is Moses, and he's got the, you know, all the Israelites. And they are between a rock and a hard place. The Egyptians are coming. You can just hear the thudding of the camel's hooves as they meander over the desert sands. the chariots or whatever it might be. But they were in a very, very difficult place. And, you know, the people were now what's going to happen? Now watch what he says. And Moses said to the people, number one, and this is God speaking to us today, folks. Moses said to the people, fear not. Okay. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. His way. I'm saying to you today, fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. Like I said, in this situation, it looked like there was no way out. And yet God intervenes. And when God intervenes, He intervenes supernaturally. Folks, do you have enough faith in the Lord to fear not? He said, fear not. Do you have enough faith to fear not? I want to say this, and this is important. Listen carefully here. You can't be in faith and fear at the same time. Let me say that again. You can't be in faith and fear at the same time, because the word speaks about faith will cast out fear. There's no question about that. So we have to look at our hearts and say, you know, am I a person that is full of faith, or am I, you know, that's full of fear? And when there's fear, we're experiencing anxiety. Where do I slot in, you know, in terms of this thing? It's like day and night, or dark and light. You cannot have dark and light in the same place. You know, this place was in total darkness, and I brought a spotlight in here. You will notice that the light chases out the darkness. And it's the same with faith, folks. Fear cannot hang around where there's a lot of faith. In Matthew 25, it tells us that we must be good stewards of all the resources that the Lord has actually given us. Is that true? We need to be good stewards. Let me just talk. When it comes to this thing of finances and the church, because this is part of what I'm sharing today. This is one of the, in fact, I'm going to summarize what I've shared here today, and there's probably 10 or 12 points. But one of the things is this thing on finances. Folks, the tenth, the tithe, we need to make sure that we are faithful with this, all right? We need to remember that the tithe has never, ever belonged to you. The tithe has never, ever belonged to me. And I know we often say things like, well, you know, I'm going to pay my tithes, or I'm going to give my tithes. And I know that, you know, we talk like that. But in actual fact, you can't pay or give something that does not belong to you. Because the tenth is not yours. However you look at it. And if we are not faithful in this area, I'm telling you, we're opening ourselves up to all types of stuff. Because, I mean, you can go and read in Malachi. Because in a way, the Bible says that we are actually stealing from God. So I don't want to get into all of that now. But folks, we need to make sure that we are faithful, you know, with that. But the point is that the other 90%, that we are good stewards with that. Even as a steward, we know it doesn't belong to us. Is that right? If you're a steward of something, it's normally something that does not belong to you. So God has a principle when it comes to the thing of finances. And the principle is called seed time and harvest. How many of us have heard of that? Seed time and harvest. 2 Corinthians 9:6. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Isn't that true? Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. How are you sowing? Get the farmer, picture of a farmer. He's got this huge farm. And he goes out there and he takes 50 millipips and he sows in. He's going to receive what? He sowed sparingly and he's going to receive a sparing return. But if that farmer goes out and he plants mini pips, you know, every kind of square inch over his property, however they do it, he's going to have a huge return. And folks, this is a principle I'm telling you right now, this thing of seed time and harvest is as real as gravity is real. I know some people get carried away and they say, well, you know, I don't believe in gravity. But I was going to say they probably find that they get to understand gravity when they jump off a building to prove that gravity doesn't exist. But normally they don't have time to realize that they were wrong. All right. Why? Because they expire. Folks, gravity is real. Seed time and harvest. That's why farmers do what they do. So folks, you know, the seed time and harvest, this is really what we, you know, require from God in our times of financial pressure. But we must make sure that we abide by His principles and the way, His conditions that He has put in place. And when we do this, I'm talking about financial difficulties in the times we are in right now, but when we do this, we will see an incredible response from the Lord in terms of us, our finances, as He pours out His blessing upon us. It's just the way it is. You know, if it was another way that the Bible teaches it, I would be sharing that here this morning. Okay? So as we give, even in times that we are under financial pressure, God says, and now I'm going to read just a couple of verses out of Malachi. He says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. What is the storehouse? The storehouse is where you and I get our spiritual food. That's where we tithe. Right. If you get your spiritual food from another place, please don't tithe here. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Because it's good for you, because you're not doing what God has told us to do. You need to make sure that you tithe there. You get your spiritual food here. This is where you would tithe. You know, there's a difference between tithing and offering, because it's quite interesting. There's a difference, and I won't get into it right now, but if you go and study this, you got your tithe, right, and how God responds to the tithe. But once you go over the tithe, you are now entering into an area where it's offerings. And there's a different blessing on offerings. So we need to get into that place. And you know, most people, they would offer where they tithe. I mean, that's just the way we are. But there's nothing, the Bible, when it comes to offerings, you can actually put your offerings anywhere. But don't think that, you know, well, I'm going to go and donate R1,000 to the squatter camp or whatever it is, and see that as an offering, and in actual fact, you haven't returned to the Lord what belongs to the Lord yet. Because that, first, you've got it all messed up. First, make sure you know we got God's side of it right, because otherwise it just becomes a portion of your tithe and it's gone to the wrong place. So that's not going to be helpful for any of us. Anyway, the other thing, and I think I spoke about this a little while ago. Some people will argue about the tithe. Am I right? Remember I said, don't touch the money. Talk about faith. Talk about the second coming of Jesus. But don't talk about money, honey. Right? People will argue when it comes to this thing on the tithe. You know, the first thing people will say, yeah, but it's part of the law. How many of you have heard that? That's Old Testament. That's Old Testament law. That's Moses, the law of Moses. Well, it is there. That's true. But folks, this tithing thing, this 10% goes further back. It goes right back. Do you remember when Abraham, when they had that battle, right, and there's a huge victory, and he took 10%, this is way before the law, he took 10% and gave it to, or how can I say, returned it, or gave it, in that situation, I don't know what it was, but to Melchizedek, the high priest. Is that true? Was that in the part of the law? No. That was before the law. Then we had the law. So we had it before the law, we had it during the law, and we have it after the law. And for those of us that say, well, I still don't believe it, fine. But just know that the expectation of us in this new dispensation, right, the new covenant, is more than the old. So if you're not happy with the 10%, you need to then be looking at the 15, 20, 25, and 30%. That's what we should be looking at. Amen. I'm not saying that that's scriptural, but what we're talking about then is saying, I just feel, you know, the 10% I'm not happy with. In other words, we're talking now about generosity in the New Testament. True. So, nowhere does it say 15% or 20%. I'm just in case, yeah, I don't want, please, don't come and queue up here and say, Dave, you know, where do you find 15% in the Bible? You wouldn't do that. Anyway, where was I? Okay, why do we tithe? Ian touched on it earlier on. That there may be food in the house. Food in the house. You heard Ian earlier on. We know that water is free. The gospel is free. With water, the plumbing costs. With the gospel, the plumbing costs. Folks, we still want to be as effective as we can. Yes, you know, I know we're involved in, you know, still very involved in supporting a church in Alex, and we've just seen incredible things starting to happen there, but there's other things we need to be doing. We don't want to just survive every month. We don't want to be in a situation where we're not surviving. So, anyway, we need to look after what's important to God. Then I just want to finish off with Malachi and get on to the next thing. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you blessings until there is no more need. How's that? Ian mentioned it earlier on. Nowhere else, as far as I know as well, in the Bible, does the Creator say to the created, put me to the test. Amen. It's God's economy. So folks, we need to be a people who trust God. We trust in Him in these difficult times. We do not put our trust in the economy. We do not put our trust in the politicians. Don't put your trust in the political establishments. Let's put our trust in Him, our Creator. Amen. God's laws of seed time and harvest don't become redundant because there is a recession. Do they? Listen here. We dwell in the shelter of the Most High. And when we do this, you know, when we are dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, we are those who are doing things God's way. And Psalm 91, verse 1 says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, in other words, there again is the condition, those doing things God's way. That's you, and you are then able to dwell in the shelter of the Almighty. Will abide in the shadow of the Mighty. Let me read that again. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He, now this is, if we're doing it, right? That condition that we dwell in other words, we're dwelling in His, you know, in His shadow. We're doing things His way. Here's the result. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. In other words, our protection. He will cover you with His pinions and under His wings, and you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalk in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. In other words, these are economies. We're talking about countries, economies, buckling and failing. But this is what the Lord says to you. But it will not come near to you. Is that true? We can put our trust in Him, folks. If God is for you, I said, who can be against you? We see in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, it says very clearly that we need to be those that are continually pressing into the Lord, okay? And when we do this, we will experience it, that peace that surpasses all understanding. As I close, Psalm 9, verse 10, and those who know your name, Is that a condition? Those who know your name, those who know his name, put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. It's all about our relationship with him, folks. So let us be a people who are pushing close to him in times of difficulties. Let's be a people who push in close to him in times of, you know, these financial stresses and strains, instead of drawing away from him like many, many people do. We need to put our trust in him because he is God, he's good. He will not again leave you, even in these stretching financial times that we are experiencing right now. You know, people say, and I'm sure you've heard people say, well, you know what? It's really tough. It's really difficult under these financial circumstances or these difficult circumstances. I want to tell us, as believers in Jesus, you and I are not under the circumstances. In fact, tell the person next to you, I am not under the circumstances. As believers in Jesus, folks, we're not. I've heard it, oh, under the circumstances this and under the circumstances that, here a bit, there a bit. We're not. And we have to understand this. All right, let me just quickly go through very briefly what I shared here this morning. Just the points. In other words, I said that the topic was, what do we do when the financial pressure is on? The first thing as believers, we don't allow fear in. Don't allow fear in. Don't allow worry in. Don't allow anxiety. Don't allow any of these things to grab hold of you. The next thing we spoke about, even in tough times, folks, we need to be those who operate in faith. Right? We know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I did say that we cannot be in faith and fear at the same time. This is so important. Another thing, as believers, we should be steward, and we should steward well that which God has given us, and I'm talking about the 90% that he's given us. The tithe, we return to the Lord, but let's steward well the 90%. Then also, as believers, we need to make sure that we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Let us not start to focus on the problem, because as soon as, like I said earlier on, as soon as we focus on the problem, we are taking our eyes off Jesus. Is that true? Next thing that I mentioned, as believers, we need to trust him. And of course, all of this is of no value unless we put our trust in him. Do you remember I spoke of, was it last week? How the sheep trust the shepherd in the wilderness. We need to be those who put our trust in the Lord as well. Then also as believers, we must allow him to give us that peace and that joy. Whenever the storms of life come, folks, we need to be living in that peace and that joy, right? Okay, because those things must not affect us when we are going through difficulties. Experiencing that peace and that joy. Even when there is a shaky economy, don't let it impact on us. Remember, you're not under the circumstances. As believers, we need to find encouragement from God's Word. Because I really believe that when we spend in time in the Word of God, we start to receive it, the Word, our faith builds up. And then you know what happens? We start to be doers of God's Word and not hearers. Jeremiah 17:7. Listen here, but there's a condition in this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. Ask yourself the question, is that you? Are you the person that trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord? He goes on to say, he, that person, is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear. There it is again, not fearing. And when the heat comes, when the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties come, okay, for its leaves remain green when the heat comes. And is not anxious. There it is, the anxiety thing. Is not anxious in the year of drought. The year of drought is a difficult time. For it does not cease to bear fruit. And I'm declaring over us today, that we are a group of people who do not cease to bear fruit, good, healthy fruit. So as believers, folks, we need to live by faith and not by sight, even in the times of financial difficulties, even in the times of financial pressure. Remembering again that we are not under the circumstances, okay, of our country's economy. Jesus said that we may face trials, tribulations, difficulties, and so on. But I gave us a verse right in the beginning. It's how we choose to respond. We've got a choice to make. We either do it His way or we do it our way. Those are the two options. What comes out of your mouth when the pressure is actually on? As we respond now to these tough times, we need to do it in a way that is really, really pleasing to Him. Because this is then when we will be victorious. So the bottom line is, God is preparing you. God is preparing me for eternity. Our life on planet Earth, these 70, 80, 90, however many years, is preparation for the eternity that we are going to spend forever and ever and ever in. Okay? So basically, He's molding us and He's preparing us. This molding and preparation is taking place while we are still here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Flate. Folks, this is really important for us. I was pondering this because the Lord spoke to me personally about this some time back. Is we have to relinquish control on our own lives. When we got born again, we were purchased with a price, and that was the shed blood of Jesus. And that means that we no longer belong to us. We belong to Him. And if we belong to Him, we have to make that decision to just do things His way. Amen. Just do what He tells us to do.